Well, welcome to another program of Vic Carolio's ministry. And this is Vic Carolio. Today I have evangelist Rob Wood with me in the studio. And I tell you, we got the Word of God. God has been churning in Rob and me as we've been seeking God. You know, we seek God on two different sides of the island. I live more towards Manhattan and Rob lives more towards Montauk. But when we come together, God has done a knitting of the Word that we've been studying. We don't rehearse it until we get together a few hours before the show, and then we talk about it. And I believe that today is going to give you another glimpse on how we're going to take from Montauk to Manhattan.
Yeah, we are really looking for realignment in 2010 for the church at large. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, David really is in what we would call a predicament or a crossroads. And in verse 3, he's contending, or he's saying, "Let us bring the ark of God back to us." So in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 7, it says, "So they carried the ark of God on a new cart, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart." So, you know, Vic, it's funny. They're trying to allow God to ride on a man-made institution, which is obviously a religion or tradition. And, you know, God doesn't ride well. He'll give you the keys to the automobile, the car, and, you know, he'll allow you maybe to sit on his lap, sort of like when you were learning how to drive with your dad, but he'll never go in the passenger seat. He certainly won't go in the back seat. We're certainly not going to put him in the roof rack or the trunk. So God really is the one that is in the driver's seat of our lives, and when we get out of realignment, he pulls back sometimes, and it causes us to do an introspect or an inspection to see what we're potentially doing wrong.
And you know, that is so true, because you know, if you think about the problem that we have on Long Island, why we haven't affected Long Island. I mean, you've got to ask yourself that question. You've been in a local church and you haven't seen the church grow in years. Some of us have seen the church go backwards, and you said, "My God, what's going on?" And you know, they'll say this and that. But I want to tell you something. We've got to come up with the plans of God. You know, when the apostles got into a debate, I can't get this out of my mind. They said, "Let's get together and pray." And the apostles all came together. And then Peter came out and said, "We found this to be what the Holy Spirit wants us to do." My God, people, we've got people that think prosperity is the way. We've got people that think you're better off being disgusted and broke. We've got people that believe we should feed the poor. We've got people that say the poor are always with us. Can we come up with the apostolic doctrine that Christ has launched out through the New Testament? Come on, people. I'm not here to play games. I'm here to say, "My God, this is the time that we got to rise up." Somebody's got to have a vision. Somebody's got to say, "Wait a minute. I've seen this thing a little bit different." Somebody's got to start to educate the people of God and say, "We can do more with Jesus Christ being in the steering wheel of our car."
Yeah, what Vic's saying is there are good ideas and then there are inspired God ideas. And the difference is good ideas aren't anointed. God ideas is where the favor of God breathes on a strategy, and then it's not you working, but God working through you. And that's to favor of God. It's when you're not working for God, God's working for you. And we're in 1 Chronicles chapter 13 where David's, you know, he's contending. He's saying, "How do I get worship back into its proper place?" And in verse 9, it says, "When they came to Chidon's threshing floor, this fellow Uzzah puts his hand out to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled." And, you know, look, Uzzah maybe wasn't a bad guy. It was an intention of his. It was instinctive for him to help God out. And the reality is God really doesn't need our help. I mean, where were we in Genesis in the beginning, before man was ever created? God doesn't need our help. He needs our cooperation. And then it says, "The anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah." God strikes this fella. He dies. He's dead. David becomes angry because of the Lord's outbreak. So David becomes afraid, and he's saying, how can I bring the ark of God back to me? And it causes David to withdraw and get alignment in his life to seek God out about the proper order.
It's time, people, for us to come together right now with the strategies of God. Like Rob said, we don't need to give God a hand. We just need to be in line with the Spirit. When Queen Sheba came over to Solomon's temple, and she came all that way, do you think for a moment that she was impressed with the wealth of what Solomon had? I want to tell you, she had just as much wealth as Solomon. She pulled up with a Rolls Royce. She had everything Solomon had. But do you know what really impressed her? Go back and read the story. That there was an order in the house. When people walked in, they seen that there was a cooperation of the men to understand what the man of God was hearing from God. I tell you today, we've got to understand this, and I've said it before, the problem in America is not with God. It's not so much with the church. It's with the pulpits of America. My God, people have got to learn to stand in a pulpit, and because of this or that, they've got to speak the truth. Not that people may leave. Someone recently called me and said, you know, hey, Vic, you preach some powerful stuff. I said, oh, thanks. They said, but you know, if you had your own church, you couldn't preach that. I said, what do you think I would do? Change my message if I had my own church? I wouldn't change my message for a minute. This is my life message that God has birthed in me. I don't care if I got a church, I don't have a church, if I'm on the radio, if I'm not on the radio. This is the message that God has told me to bring to Montauk, to Manhattan.
Yeah, you know, when we try and give God a hand, as Vic would say, I'm seeing it prophetically, where some people will say in life, hey, why don't you give me a hand? Why don't you help me out? God actually takes his hand and he hides it within his shirt. So, you know, he is withdrawing his presence, which makes him run after him. And let's take it from 1 Chronicles 13, verse 13. It said, David would not move this ark with him into the city of David. So what he does is he takes the ark and he parks it in this fellow's backyard or in his house, this fellow Obed-Edom. It says, the ark remained in the family of Obed-Edom for 3 months. The Lord blessed his house and all that he had. So really, that to me was saying that Obed-Edom was able to facilitate and contain and administrate the thing God entrusted to him. There was an intention of heaven that God wanted to release, and Obed-Edom was able to capture it. Now, let me ask you people a question. What do you think Obed-Edom's neighbors felt like? Their neighbors became jealous and zealous because they were probably saying, geez, he's becoming fat and blessed in the things of God. We can have that. So it became almost a rebuke to the territory at large. And when we see pockets of revival, whether it's Toronto or Pensacola, God is saying that's what everyone can have. Come on, people. This isn't meant to just be in one area of the nation. It's meant to be everywhere.
And that's interesting because I'm thinking about something else. You know, I've heard many teachers, preachers preach on the blessing that came to the house of Obed-Edom. But I want to tell you, I want to bring you back a little bit. When the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant and brought it into their temple, Dagon, they were the wrong people that had the covenant of God in their house. And they tried to mock the Ark of the Covenant. But Dagon, they would put it next to Dagon, and Dagon would fall off and break his arm, break his leg, and they'd keep propping it up. My point is that Dagon represented a religious system trying to do it with their own hands, trying to do it with their own arms, trying to do it with their own shoulders. But God showed them. But I tell you this, this is the part I want you to catch. You could have the Ark of the Covenant in your house, but if you're the wrong person, if you're the person that wasn't called by God, if you're the person that has not stayed in tune with the message, I tell you, it's like Dagon. Your words go out and they fall to the floor. God's looking for some people with some unction, some anointing that can preach and teach people the ways of the Spirit.
Yeah, what Vic's trying to reveal or institute is the new wine can contain the new wineskin, because, you know, Jesus said, he says, I'm not pouring the new wine out onto an old wineskin because it'll leak. Now, we'll just finish this up in 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 13. It says, because you did not do it the first time, the Lord broke out against us because we did not consult him about the proper order. It says, the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark to Israel, and the children of the Levites bore the ark on the shoulders by its poles, as Moses commanded them according to the word of the Lord. So really, Vic, there is a pattern or a recipe that triggers revival. And when revival comes, or the power, the presence, the dunamis, the Father's love, the river, whatever you want to tout or to call it, just God pouring himself out, we have got to learn how to carry God, not drive him. And you really can't drive God. Moses revealed a pattern. It was a picky pattern. If you study Leviticus and Exodus, it almost gets ridiculous where they start talking about these utensils and these cups and the certain amount of blood. But God is revealing a chemistry, as it may, that triggers his presence. And when it comes, we don't want visitation. We have got to have habitation. And we believe the habitation, or the abode, or the abiding of God is coming from Montauk to Manhattan. And we believe we're just part of a voice to help contain revival, so it doesn't fizzle out. It's consistent and it remains, and it's sustained revival, not aborted revival.
I believe that when John and Peter healed that man at the Temple Beautiful, when that man rose up, he said, he looked at those guys like they were God. But John immediately turns around and says, wait a minute. We did this only with our hand, but it was the hand of God that was under our hand. This was done by Jesus Christ. People, I want to caution you today that if God's not behind it, we don't want it. I'm tired of seeing the mirage of what people tell me. You know, I go listen to an evangelist or some prophetic voice, and they're always telling me about before they came to this town, they were in another town and eyes were opened, ears were open. But I want to see it in the town where you're in now. My God, people, you get duped too quick. But I tell you, I'm going to go to my deathbed. I'm telling you who you are in Christ, telling you the truth, telling you that God plus you is a majority, making you understand that we need the authentic power of God. We don't need mimics. We've got people mimicking other people. They want to mimic this one. They want to mimic that one. But I tell you, only you can be you. You've got to learn to be you. You don't have to learn to be the leader that you're with. You have to learn to be the significant person that God has buried in you.
Yeah, it sort of reminds me, Vic, where David said, I don't want Saul's armor, because it really didn't do Saul much good anyway, because Saul didn't win too many battles. So David was saying, I don't want someone else's armor. It doesn't fit me. And it really did no good for that guy. So I want to walk in the mantle, or the calling God, or the lane, or the gifting. And, you know, Vic, we believe God is not anointing a church in this hour. He's anointing the church. God is not anointing somebody. He is anointing the body. And me and Vic, we love the local church in this region. We're believing every local house from Montauk to Manhattan filled to capacity. We bless every fivefold pastor, evangelist, prophet, teacher, apostle, and we say, come on, Long Island, it's time to live and do greater works than Christ. We can take this region, and we believe Vic is really a voice that is of a forerunner, like a John the Baptist. And I often say, Vic, be careful you don't get your head cut off. They may deliver your head on a platter. But we're just kidding you, Vic. But if you want to partner with Vic, you can go on his website. It's victorsinfo.com or email him at victorsinfo@aol.com. And God bless your radio audience.